all, let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for the truth of the love of God toward us. And we pray, Lord, that tonight You will be pleased to come and reveal Thyself in all of Thy great love. Oh God, we pray especially tonight for those still out of Christ without a Savior. We pray, Lord, that this will be the night when they will come and experience the love of God for themselves. So just be with us now. Give us help, O God, we pray, as we seek to worship Thee. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Our opening hymn is the words of hymn number 265. Words will be on the screen, but if you follow in our hymn book, it's page 283. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. 265, we'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's ask for His help as we come to this meeting tonight. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, tonight for Thy great love toward us. We thank the Lord that we can say, how marvelous, how wonderful is the Saviour's love to me. Lord, we stand amazed, we stand in wonder, Lord, that you should ever love us. We consider what we were. Lord, we deserve nothing but the wrath of God. And yet, O God, we thank thee that in love and mercy you reached down, you saved us. We thank the Lord that in love and mercy you sent thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour, there to suffer the agonies and the shame of hell on the cross there at Calvary. And, O God, we thank thee for the one who lived for us, for the one who died for us. But, Lord, we thank thee today for the one who lives again for us. We thank the Lord that he lives in the power of an endless life. We thank the Lord this evening as we come to thee. Lord, we do so, Lord, through all the merits of Christ. We come claiming all, Lord, the glories of Christ tonight, his righteousness. Lord, we thank thee tonight that we do not come, Lord, on our own merits or anything we have of ourselves. For, Lord, we realize that all our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And, Lord, we thank thee this evening for your mercy and your great love toward us. We thank thee, Lord, for ever sending thy Son to be our Savior. And we thank thee, O God, tonight for the invitation that is still extended in the gospel for sinners to leave their sin and to come to Christ, for sinners to leave their all and to cry out unto thee for mercy and for salvation. We thank thee, O God, tonight that there is still that way back to God from the dark paths of sin. We thank thee, Lord, it's still at the foot of the old rugged cross. And, O God, we pray that tonight sinners will come, Lord, there they will acknowledge their sin. And, Lord, O God, we pray that they might know and experience forgiveness from their sins. O God, we cry unto thee this evening for a sense of thy presence. We ask, O God, that you will be pleased to come. And, Lord, make thyself very real to us tonight, we pray. O God, we pray that you'll come and speak to us. Lord, minister to us, O God, we pray. Lord, as we have gathered in thy house on this thine own day, in the evening of thy day, we pray, Lord, that you will be pleased to come. And, Lord, stand amongst us. Reveal thyself to us, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to pour your Spirit out upon us, we ask. We pray, Lord, for this meeting tonight. We pray, Lord, for those gathered still out of Christ without a Savior. O God, we pray that tonight will be the night of their salvation. And, O God, even as salvation came to that house of Zacchaeus all those years ago, we pray, Lord, that salvation will come to this house tonight. And, Lord, that you'll save some precious soul. We ask, O God, for this area, for this community. We ask, O God, for this entire city. We cry unto thee tonight. Come, O God, we pray, with that breath of God from on high. Lord, stir up the people of God. We acknowledge our coldness and our barrenness. We acknowledge, O God, that we're far from thee. Lord, we're far from the people that we ought to be. And, O God, we pray that you'll stir us. Lord, that you'll create within us, Lord, that desire after God and after holiness. And our Father, we pray that we might, Lord, see great things done in our lives and through our lives. We ask, O God, for our congregation. We ask, O God, tonight for those who need our prayers. For those who are unwell, touch them in their bodies. For those no longer able to gather with us, Lord, as once they did, we pray, Lord, you'd be pleased to come and minister to them. Lord, even in their own homes tonight or in nursing homes, draw near to them, O God, we pray. And may they know the Lord being their presence and their portion even at this time. But, O God, we consider tonight those who, Lord, once walked so well with thee, once who loved the place of prayer, once who loved the house of God, and yet tonight they have no thought or concern or interest after the things of God. O God, we pray that you'll be pleased to come and restore the backslider, we pray, to their first love. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to do something new amongst us, we ask. And so, our Father, we commit our way to thee. Bless us, O God, in this meeting tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege and the joy that it is for us to gather in the house of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that we might know thy presence, and, Lord, that we'll hear thy voice. Bless the singing of these hymns together. We ask, O God, that you'll bless Michael and Hazel, Lord, as they would come and minister to us in song. We thank thee for them and encourage them tonight. Lord, as they would seek to minister, we pray, Lord, that you'll be unto them all that they would need. And may they know great help from heaven. God, we pray that you'll just stand with them and help them this evening, we pray. Bless us around the Word of God and do all of our hearts good. And Lord, we will be careful to give thee all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. For you alone aren't worthy. So hear and answer prayer. Just continue with us now and give us help, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're delighted to welcome this evening to Sandown for the first time, Michael and Hazel Saunderson and their family as well. We're glad to have you tonight, and we welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name. Thank you for coming and joining with us. We're looking forward to having you, and we're going to ask you to come and sing a few pieces for us at this stage. And don't worry, if baby cries, that's not a problem. Derek there is a very good babysitter, and he'll be able to look after the wee one. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you. Michael and Hazel, thank you so much for those lovely messages and song. Really, really blessed by them, and thank you for your help tonight. We look forward to hearing from you in just a wee moment's time. Sorry if you're listening online. We have had a problem with this mic and this socket. I understand we still have a problem. Yeah, we'll maybe switch these things around. The technical people can do that, because if I do something, I'll probably break it. We'll maybe take the piano socket out whenever it's not been used and then switch it in. We're getting this sound sorted. I think maybe it'll be sorted by the time the Lord returns, but we will get there. Getting people to do it is like, it's very frustrating, and patience has been tried, but we're getting there, and we're going to keep on at it, and we will get there, God willing. But thank you for your help tonight, Michael and Hazel. Pray the Lord blesses your ministry to us. We're turning tonight to the Word of God, please, to the book of Psalms and to the Psalm 39. Psalm 39, please. I want to speak in the gospel tonight, a little later on the subject of the sinner's reality check. And let's hear the word of the Lord as we read it together just now. Psalm 39, to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, Psalm of David. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me, while I was musing with the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let me welcome you all along this evening to our evening gospel service. We're glad to see you, and we welcome you in the Lord's great and worthy name tonight. And also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. Can I remind you of the meetings that are before us this week and a little later on as well? On Tuesday night, we have a deputation meeting on behalf of the Trinitarian Bible Society, and our brother, the Reverend Craig Dennison, will be here to speak and to tell of the work of TBS. So please do remember that. There'll be an offering lifted on Tuesday night to support the work of TBS, and he'll also have a book table along with him. So you may want to bring some other money as well, extra money, to purchase some books, calendars, etc., that he will have with him on Tuesday night. Friday night, for our young people, that's the Youth Council Youth Rally in Mockerfelt Church at 8 o'clock. Then next Lord's Day, 10:15, the Sunday School Bible class recommence here in the church. Please do remember that. Encourage your children to attend, and other children as well. If you know in your area, encourage them to attend our Sunday school for this new term. Then 11:30, our morning worship service. Our brother Adam will be reporting on his first year in Bible college, and will be taking up an offering during that meeting to support Adam as a love gift to him, as we did last year, and we'll do each year to help him. So do remember that next Sunday morning for that offering for our brother Adam. Then next Sunday afternoon, our outreach Sunday school recommences as well in Redburn Community Centre at 2:30. 6:30 next Sunday night is our family and friends night service, and her sister June Bird will be along to testify and tell how the Lord saved her out of the darkness of Jehovah's Witness, and we're looking forward to having June along with us next Sunday night. There'll be tea afterwards for everyone as well. We want you to continue to remember the family, Jordan family in Macrofelt, who so suddenly and sadly plunged into such sorrow as they lost their little 9-month old boy this past week, very, very suddenly and very, very tragically. And so pleased to remember Johnny and his wife Claire. Jonathan's going into his final year in Bible College. So please do remember them. The funeral service will be tomorrow, and please remember them much in prayer. The graduation commencement service for the Whitfield College of the Bible has been held in the Martyrs Church, Monday the 11th of September at 8 p.m., and the moderator will be the preacher. The Explorers Bible Club recommences here on Tuesday the 12th of September at 6:30, and Youth Fellowship recommences on Friday the 15th. Of September. Then Saturday the 16th, that's our church outing, leaving the church here at 7:45 in the morning and travelling down to Dublin for the day out there to the zoo. So please do remember that. If you haven't as yet paid your money, please do that as soon as possible. And then do remember Joshua and Anna as they get married this Friday here in the church. As we said this morning, you're all welcome. Invited along to that ceremony. It's an open invitation to all. The service here in the church at 12:30 on Friday afternoon. Then I had omitted to announce this morning, but announcing it now, the seasons of prayer that we will have as we recommence the autumn and winter's work. Those will commence on Sunday the 17th of September, and then the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of that next week. So please to remember those special seasons of prayer as we set this time aside to pray for the work of God here in Sandown. Then on Saturday the 30th of September in the Martyrs Church, there is the rally against the RSE legislation that has come in now and been implemented on the dictates of the Secretary of State. And there is much in that that causes concern. And so please do remember that rally. Our brother Callum Webster of the Christian Institute will be speaking at that. And that's on Saturday the 30th of September. Note the time, 7 p.m. In the Martyrs Church. Remember the offering boxes, they're available there as you leave for your tithes and for your offerings. If you didn't get the church magazines this morning, they're available there as you leave tonight. 281 is our next hymn. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. 281, and we'll stand again as we sing this hymn, please. ask Michael and Hazel to come and sing for us again, please. The Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank God tonight for the work of Christ on the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. None other can save, none other will save. And we rejoice tonight in all that Christ has done for us. Michael, Hazel, thank you so much for being with us tonight, really. Blessed by your ministry and song, and pray the Lord will bless you Is that Micah? It is Micah, yes. Micah was one of those who every week faithfully sent in his memory verse to Bible Explorers during those awful days of lockdown. It was one of the highlights of life here in Sandown and life in our home as well. And Micah was very faithful, always sending in his memory verses and his videos and his colouring pages. So thank you, Micah, and it's nice to meet you in person tonight. Let's turn again to Psalm 39, please. Psalm 39. And let's come to the gospel tonight. As we said, we want to speak on the subject of the sinner's reality check. Let's hear the word of the Lord. But before we come to God's word, let's just still our hearts, please, and ask for his help in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee this evening for help given to Michael and Hazel as they minister to us in song. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ, for the work of Christ. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that we've been singing, Lord, even as a congregation, about that blood. We praise thee, O God, tonight that nothing can wash away our sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And our Father, we pray that tonight you would be pleased to come. And Lord, apply the blood by faith to hearts, we pray. Lord, those who are still in their sin, we pray, Lord, that tonight they come leave their sin behind and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh God, we pray for help to preach the gospel, Lord, as we ought to preach. Realize, oh God, our own inability, our own frailty. Oh God, we look to thee. Give that help that is needed just now. And pour out your Spirit upon us. Give, Lord, the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, you'll send the Spirit, Lord, into this meeting. Send it into hearts, we pray. May we, Lord, hear the moving of God even tonight. Lord, as we come to deal with these solemn realities, as we are faced with them in the Word of God. So be with us just now. We ask, O God, tonight that sinners might get real. Lord, that they may no longer be foolish about the things of God, about the destiny of their eternal soul. And Lord, that tonight they'll come put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be with us just now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. So says the psalmist in the words of verse number 4 of this 39th Psalm. And here in this verse, the psalmist David is looking to the end of his life. Now you might think tonight that's a very morbid subject. It's not a very happy subject. It's not something really you want to think too much about. In this world in which we live, we are told we should live for the moment, we should live every day, and we should live life to its fullest. And of course we should. Certainly for the child of God, we should live in the fullness of all that we have in the Savior. And everything that we have in Christ, we should enjoy our Christian life. We are to enjoy the reality of all of God's blessing and experience the goodness of God every day. But the problem with so many today, and perhaps even in this meeting tonight, is that you get so caught up with living that you pay little or no attention to dying. And it is this subject that David is taken up with here in this psalm. He ponders his life in the light of eternity. And he says, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Let me ask you tonight, have you ever really seriously pondered, considered about the end of your life? Have you ever really seriously pondered that one day the life that you currently, presently have will come to an end? We trust, we pray that we live a long life. We trust, we pray that we will live a healthy life. But the reality of life is that even in the midst of life, we are in death, and that one day our life will come to an end. And it is this subject that David is taken up with, and he desires, he speaks to the Lord, he prays to the Lord, and he says, Lord, make me to know mine end. And for those in this meeting tonight without Christ, this is something you do well to think about. This is a reality check that you ought to consider very seriously tonight. That you would consider the end of your life. Not consider its end in relation to material possessions and making sure that everything is arranged and sorted out as far as your financial well-being is concerned, but as far as your spiritual soul is concerned, this is something you need to be concerned about. We can get all hot and bothered about certain things that go on in this world, certain things that go on in our province, but have you ever thought seriously about the end of your life? And where you will be when your life comes to an end. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Hebrew believers, said, it is appointed unto man once to die. Once to die. But after this, the judgment. And here is the reality check that, sinner, you do well to consider tonight. As we consider these verses, this verse, we consider this reality check. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, that there's a chilling reality. David says, Lord, make me to know mine end. Do you know what he's saying? Do you know what he's realizing? He realizes, I'm not going to be here forever. He says, one day the story of my life will come to an end, and he would pass the way of death. He realized that his life on this earth was short. Make me to know mine end, the measure of my days. He was not asking the Lord to reveal to him the circumstances of how his life would come to an end. He wasn't even asking the Lord to reveal to him how his life would come to an end or the time of his death. He is asking that the Lord would reveal to him that in the light of life, he would realize that one day his life would come to an end. He desires a sense of eternity, and he desires to be moved by that sense of eternity. Not that he would know necessarily how long he would have to live, because none of us know that, but that he would be reminded of how short a time he's here for. That he would be reminded that he has an eternal soul. And sinner, tonight you do well to be reminded of that fact. That your earthly temple, this earthly body, will one day decay, will die, will be placed into Mother Earth. But that you have a soul that will live on, a soul that will live on either in God's heaven or in God's hell. And David here, when he prays this prayer, when he makes this petition of the Lord, he is wanting to live his life in the light of that reality. And you know, folks, whether you live for 20 years, 50 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, or even more, your life, my life here on this earth will be as nothing in the light of eternity. John Newton ought write in those wonderful words, "An amazing grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." And in the light of eternity, our little time here on this earth will be as nothing. And sinner, tonight the reality is that if you die as you are, and you go out into God's eternity still in your sin, you will have all eternity. You will have all time to be in hell, to suffer eternal damnation for your soul. Just as the Christian will have all eternity to sing the praise of Jesus around the throne of heaven, to experience and to enjoy the glories of that place. And even when we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun. And sinner, when you are in hell 10,000 years, you've only just begun. The writer said, soon I'll come to the end of my journey. And speaking about the Christian, he said, I'll meet the one who gave his life for me. I'll thank him for the love that he gave me. And 10,000 years or more, I'll reign with him. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years we've just begun. 10,000 years the battle over, the victory won. 10,000 years we've just begun. For the child of God, we will have all eternity. All eternity to revel and to rejoice in the immediate presence of Christ for all eternity. And as I've said in the past, don't think you'll ever be bored in heaven. You won't. Don't think you'll be sitting about in heaven wondering, well, what will I do tomorrow? Time will be no more in that place. But likewise, time will be no more in the eternal caverns of the damned for those who reject Jesus Christ, for those who turn away from the crosswork of Jesus Christ, for those who die as they have lived in their sin. They will have all eternity to experience the wrath and the judgment of God upon your soul there. David here is making this request for a revaluation, a reappraisal of his life in the light of eternity. He's getting real. He's getting real. Sinner, is it not time you got real? Is it not time that you got real tonight about your soul? Is it not time tonight that you got real about where you will spend eternity? Because be well assured on the authority of the Word of God, if you reject God's Word and if you turn your back on God's Word, you will spend all eternity in that place where God has forgotten to be merciful, in the torments and the tears and the tragedy of that awful place the Bible calls hell. Chilling reality. Like that rich man, you'll have time in hell to remember every time you rejected the gospel. You'll have time in hell to remember every time you sat in a gospel meeting and turned your back on Christ, every time someone spoke to you and challenged you and exhorted you to be saved. You'll remember all of that because you'll have time. Lord, make me to know mine end. Oh, that we would all live in the light of eternity, but sinner, tonight, that you might realize just how short your life really is and just how real and how long eternity really is. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. You see, our life is as that book that is lived day by day, page by page, chapter by chapter. But then one day for all of us, the last page of life will be turned, and the book of our life will be brought to a close. and then where? Because despite the teaching and the thinking of this age, death is not the end. There is an existence beyond the grave. And sinner, tonight you need to stop and think. Your life on earth, yes, is short, but where you will be in God's eternity. You need to give serious consideration to these matters. Life at its very best, life at its very longest is brief. That's the chilling reality. But not only do we see a chilling reality here, we also see a crushing frailty. A crushing frailty. The end of verse 4, he says, that I may know how frail I am. That I may know how frail I am. That word frail, it just means destitute. It means totally weak and totally helpless. Having spoken about the brevity of life, he now turns his attention to the vanity of life. Do you know, isn't that opposite to how man thinks today? Man is so puffed up with pride. Man thinks he is so great. Man thinks he is so important. Man thinks he is self-sufficient. Man thinks today he doesn't need God. And you know, sinner, tonight in this meeting, you're just like that. You think you don't need God. You think you can live your life without Him. You think you can carry on just as you are without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You don't see how frail your life really is. The great Muhammad Ali, the great boxer, who said that he was the greatest, boasted about his strength, boasted about his ability. But one day illness came into his life. Robbed him of his strength, and then eventually death brought him down. Oh, we are only frail, frail vessels. In verse 6, he talks about the vanity of life again. He says in Psalm 39, verse 6, and surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. You have a margin in your Bible, you'll see that it means an image. A reflection of something else. An image which has no substance or no value. There's an appearance of something, but there's nothing. And you see tonight, the reality is that by nature and because of our sin, we are frail, we are weak. Without Christ, we are nothing, we have nothing. This world tonight talks about the pride of life, talks about the strength of life, talks about how important they are, about how able they are. And the reality is, they're only frail, weak sinners. One day God will bring down. Talks about the vanity of life as well in verse 6 when he says, he heapeth up riches. Heapeth up riches. That's what this world is all about, isn't it? That's the mindset of many in this world, just gaining as much of this world as they can. Oh, there's nothing wrong if you're blessed with riches. God bless you for it. Nothing wrong with hard work and hard labor. But remember the warning of Scripture, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. A verse that we quoted last Lord's Day as well, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's what many are doing tonight. You say to me, but I'm not really doing that. I don't have any worldly empire. I'm not any big businessman. I'm not any entrepreneur. But listen, if you haven't got Jesus Christ in your heart and life, if you have never trusted Him as your Savior, you are exactly doing that, because the only treasure you have is on this earth. You have no treasure in the life beyond the grave. You have no treasure in heaven. You do not have Christ. You have no hope beyond the grave. You have nothing. And life might be comfortable now, and things might be okay. But when it comes your time to die, you've got nothing. Man is full of feathering his own nest here on earth, so taken up with the sowing and reaping a material harvest. And yet has got nothing to count for eternity. There's no substance in the things of this world. Look how the verse 6 ends. Knoweth not who shall gather them. Knoweth not who shall gather them. You know, I'm sure you've heard the saying that there are no pockets and shrouds. It's true. Brought nothing into this world, you'll take nothing out of it. Well, that's not exactly true. God breathed life into you in your mother's womb. He breathed into you a living soul. And that living soul is what you will take out of this world. And the question is asked in Mark's Gospel, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Knoweth not who shall gather them. When our life comes to an end, it matters not who'll get what and who won't get what. It matters what you've done about your eternal soul. Are you laying up treasure in heaven tonight? What is the treasure of heaven? The treasure of heaven is Jesus Christ, the joy of heaven, the glory of heaven. You see, if tonight is your soul right with God, the only substance and value that counts before God is the value not of yourself, but the value of the cross work of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that counts in the eyes of God. It's not about what you've done with life. It's not about how you've done in life. It's not about what you've done with the riches of life or the lack of riches of life that you will stand to give an account for. It's what you've done with Christ. What you've done with Christ. He is the only and the true value that will stand before God. A vain show, heaping up riches, knowing not who shall gather them. There's the vanity of life. Life is vain. We read of that farmer in Luke's Gospel. And quite probably, while it is referred to and termed as a parable, it is very likely that the Lord told that story of an actual person who lived on earth. A man who had much riches and had much wealth. And he heaped himself riches. He heaped himself wealth, building up an earthly empire. And the plan was to go bigger. To grow bigger. He was making every preparation for living. As I've said, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, he failed to make any preparation for dying. He failed to live his life in the light of eternity. He failed to realize that one day his life would come to an end because he was so taken up with living. And even in the midst of all his preparation, in the midst of all his storing up, the Lord came and the Lord said to him, "Thou fool, this night. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall these things be?" In other words, you might have millions, you might have all the property in this world, but what will it profit you What gain will it be when breath is taken from your body and you're cast out into eternity and cast out into a lost eternity? All the riches will never buy your way out of hell. The only thing that will buy your way out of hell is the blood of Jesus Christ purchased at the cross of Calvary. There's a crushing frailty here. Oh, that we would realize how frail our life is, how vain our life is, how empty our life is without Christ. But we finish with this point tonight, that there is a certain mortality. Verse 4 again, Lord, make me to know mine end. Mine end. Our end is already appointed by God. The manner of it, the circumstances of it, it's all appointed by God. And we're not going to overstep it, or we're not going to go before our time either. Anybody says that to you, it's not according to the Scriptures. Remember what we said? What Paul said in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die. The bounds of our life are set. Death is an unavoidable, inescapable fact. And as David said, there is but a step between me and death. He said, we must needs die, and as water spilled in the ground that cannot be gathered up again. There's no coming back after death, you see. Job says that our days are determined, our bounds are appointed. And then he goes on to say, this man dieth. He wasteth away. And man giveth up the ghost. But then there's the question, where is he? Where is he? When that time has come for our life to come to an end, where will we be? Oh yes, our bodies will be placed in a coffin and then placed in a grave. But that's not the end. Because the Scriptures tell us about a resurrection day. And all those who have passed the way of death will rise again to stand before God. And all will be judged. How will they be judged? What will be the record that they will be judged against? Well, the Scriptures tell us it is according to the book of life. Whether their names are in the book of life or in the book of the lost. One day God will bring the curtain of our life will bring it down. And our life here on this earth will end. But then where? Where? Only two places. Heaven or hell. There's one way to heaven, it's through Jesus Christ. And there's one way to hell, it's by rejecting Jesus Christ. Therefore, how will you die? Not asking about the circumstances. Will you die in Christ or will you die out of Christ? You know, you've heard of the man Balaam that we read about in the book of Numbers. A man who, despite all the privileges, still rejected Christ, and yet he made that most amazing statement, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my latter end be like his." Let me die the death of the righteous. Sad thing is, he didn't. The righteous, those who are saved, they die well, because they die in Christ. They die in peace. And they go to be with Christ. But those who die out of Christ, those who die unsaved and unprepared, it's an altogether different matter. When their end comes, when your end comes, when your day comes to leave this world, having rejected Jesus Christ, oh, what it will be. And what it will be, especially for those who die rejecting Christ, having heard the gospel week in, week out, having been brought up in the gospel, having been told of their need of Christ, what an end your end will be. But it need not be like that. Because Jesus Christ died, gave his life and shed his blood, that when it comes your time to leave this world behind, you can die well. By dying in Christ and going to be with him for all eternity. Oh, that tonight, sinner, you would get real about these matters. Oh, that tonight, sinner, you would have this reality check. But not only that you would consider them, but you would do something about it. That you would not leave this meeting tonight the same way that you came in, but that you would leave this meeting tonight having received Jesus Christ as your Savior, having made preparation. There is, in these verses, a chilling reality. Our life is short. The brevity of life. There is, in these verses, a crushing frailty. The vanity of our life. And the certain mortality, the certainty that one day our life will come to an end. If I could bring you to the cross, I would, but I can't. This is something between you and you and the Lord tonight. But be well assured. While you might sit in this meeting tonight and all may seem well from the outside, and you might fool others and maybe you think in your own mind all is well with you, be assured tonight God knows your heart. God sees how you stand before him. Oh, that tonight, if you are in this meeting without Christ, that you would not be a fool anymore. That you would not reject him anymore, but that you would come to Christ tonight and be saved. Leave your sin and come to him. Will you do that tonight? Do it while there's time. Do it while there's opportunity. Come to him. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we